It's celebrating the Day of Trumpets, the return of Jesus Christ. It's inspiring as we think about that, because it's going to bring some major changes to our planet. It's going to bring a new government, a government of God. Our government today that we have right now, governments across the planet, are based on human understanding and practices that don't provide, and I think it's very clear to us, they don't provide peace, safety, and prosperity for all people. We can see today very plainly the inability of human beings ruled by human nature, influenced by Satan, to properly govern themselves. I think you would all agree God's government has to be better. It's got to be better than that. The government of Jesus Christ will be based on perfect principles and will change our society and our planet totally for the better. This truth and message is why Jesus Christ came, to bring the message of salvation and the kingdom of God. My message today is based mostly on an article called Changes Coming by Howard Davis, posted on February 9th in 2009. As many of you know, Howard Davis is the pastor that founded the existing Hartford United Church of God on August 2nd, 2014. That was our first Sabbath service. He was pivotal in standardizing our services and our approach. So I'd like to now turn to the pivotal moment in the documented in the Bible when this big government change is going to take place. Please turn with me. Join me in Revelation 11. And I'll be going through a lot of scriptures today. So I'm going to kind of suggest that you probably sit back and just listen and write down the scripture location so you can refer to it later, because there's an awful lot of scriptures. I really don't need to speak much, because the scriptures are very, very clear about this government that's coming. And this is the message that Jesus brought. Anyways, Revelation 11 and verse 15. It's the seventh trumpet where the kingdom is proclaimed. In verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Think about that for a minute. Forever. We don't have any governments that have survived more than a couple hundred years here on this planet to date. So, what is this kingdom that will reign forever? And what changes does it bring? Today, we will review five focuses of Christ's new government, the kingdom of God, and what it will bring. Our first focus is that the perfect government of Jesus Christ addresses the core problem in the foundation of man's system. And the core problem in man's system right now is the lack of a singular moral principle, or God's law. So the first point we have to make here, the first focus, is the government of the kingdom of God will promote one universal worldwide faith. One universal worldwide faith. If you look at our world today from a faith perspective, it is a mosaic of many different faiths, all contributing to discontinuity and conflict between people and their nations. Jesus Christ will abolish the separation between church and state, and he will promote a true faith with a true religion for the world, instituting a set of divine laws for religious observance that will benefit the whole world. So as I start going through these scriptures, I'm going to go kind of fast. So if you just want to write the location and just sit back and listen, you'll get a flavor for what this is all about. Zechariah 14, 7 through 9. Zechariah 14, 7 through 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one, and his name one, across the whole planet. No more conflicting beliefs. This will lead to great harmony among all people across the planet because we'll all believe the same thing. The nations will all recognize Jesus Christ as their king and come and worship. Revelation 2, 26 through 27. Revelation 2, 26 through 27. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And I'll show you that this rod of iron will actually be merciful. He will rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. And that is referenced in referencing Psalm 2, 7 through 9. That references Psalm 2, 7 through 9. But in Isaiah 11, 4, it talks about how he's going to do that. Isaiah 11, 4 says, "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." So all of the people who decide to not come on board with the new kingdom of God will have some big challenges in their life. And then I'll go to Psalm 86, verse 9. Psalm 86, verse 9. "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." And they'll keep the holy days too. And we will worship Jesus Christ as one planet. Think about that for a moment. It's detailed in Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 19. Zechariah 14, 16 through 19 says, "The nations shall worship the king. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth that do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter it, they shall have no rain. And they shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." He's serious. Across the whole planet, he's serious. Everybody will be keeping the holy days. If you're not, there'll be some, you know, consequences. And the whole planet will also be keeping the Sabbath as well. The Sabbath is detailed in Isaiah 66, verse 23. Isaiah 66, 23 says, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." All flesh shall worship him. And there'll be healing too as well. In Revelation 22, verse 1 through 2, Revelation 22, verse 1 through 2, it says that the river of life will provide some healing. Verse 1 in Revelation 22. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Across the whole planet, the nations can then seek out the leaves of those trees to help them to heal. And the kings will fall down and worship him, as it says in Psalm 72:11. All kings will fall down and worship, fall down before him, Psalm 72:11, and all nations shall serve him. All nations. Getting the worldwide perspective here. This is not just for us. It's for the whole world. In Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 3, Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 3, it says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, which is a hill in Jerusalem, out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So let's pause for a moment here and reflect on this fact. Jerusalem's going to be the capital of the planet. These things alone that we just talked about are big and will bring harmony and peace to all mankind, removing the sources of wars and conflict and suffering. This all starts to become real at the return of Jesus Christ on the Day of Trumpets. And this is only the first focus that his kingdom will be doing, which is to promote a universal worldwide faith. The second focus of the kingdom is the government of the kingdom of God will be focused on perfecting man as God's children. God has a better way to live. The confluence of a myriad of faith and beliefs in our government and society creates much suffering and corruption. Our Constitution here in the United States was created to offset the tendency of human nature to rule unjustly. And maybe it has been successful for a while, but it's not perfect, and it can fail. Isaiah 9, 16 through 17 explains what can happen. It explains how it happens that these governments fail. Isaiah 9, 16 through 17, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and the widows, for everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. The simplicity and love of the law of God will change this around completely. We'll turn this upside down. Hebrews 8:10 says that, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, that after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then Galatians 5:22 through 24 says, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, the two great commandments. This is going to change the entire world when everybody's asked to do this, and it becomes serious that we all need to do it, because the king is ruling from Jerusalem. Matthew 5:48, it says, the goal here is for us to be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So Matthew 5:48 says that we are to become perfect. That is the goal of this, the second focus here. The kingdom of God will be focused on perfecting man as God's children. Of course, there are, you know that there's going to be all of us working with Jesus Christ and the kingdom, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. We'll be helping and guiding them. And God will replace the human spirit in man with his righteous spirit. Their spirit, which is the human spirit driven by human nature, will be replaced by his righteous spirit, as Joel 2 verse 28 says, God's spirit will be poured out. He says, he'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. With this focus of his government, God's government, on perfecting man and woman, leading us to live like he would want us to live, perfecting our relationships with him and with each other, imagine the love that will be in all our relationships across the planet as everyone strives to become God's children. We've only gotten through two of the focuses. The third focus is the government and the kingdom of God will be based on God's word. This is very important, foundational. The government and the kingdom of God will be based on God's word. I think human beings through all the ages have missed a primary thing here. The knowledge of God and his ways and wisdom will lead man to redefine all our sciences and sources of knowledge so that they are based on the Bible and God's instructions. Right now, we think we know what we're doing as a human race. But when you understand God, you'll find out he knows exactly what's going on, and we need to learn from him. And a key scripture for this is Colossians 1, verse 9 through 10. In Colossians 1, 9 through 10, it's talking about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is not this fleeting knowledge and wisdom that we have today that we see, which is ever-changing as the governments and our science and our people teach each other. It's always changing. It never survives. It's fleeting. But the knowledge of God is a growing bank of wisdom that builds on itself to guide man as God's children for eternity. This is knowledge that doesn't change. This is knowledge that builds and grows, and we can rely on and grow as people and become his children. And the reason we can do this is because of Jesus Christ coming and bringing his government. And this scripture you probably all know, Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7. Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7 is a popular scripture, especially around Christmas time in this world. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I think you can start to see that with just a few topics that we've hit already. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, this is an eternal government. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It will bring a great peace and a great love to our planet for eternity. It will do a number of other things too as well. Isaiah 11:9 says they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God, Lord, as the waters cover the sea. God's word will be the rock that his people on this earth will be anchored in. The growth, explosion of knowledge and wisdom and understanding will guide us in all truth and eternal principles of science and healthy people and great joy. God's word will bring life. That was the third focus. His kingdom will be based on his word. The fourth one is the government of the kingdom of God will focus on the family. The government of the kingdom of God will focus on the family. And isn't that the purpose of life? Not only to build our own families, but to become part of God's family for eternity. Jesus is part of a family, and he wants to include each one of us Matthew 11:27. Matthew 11:27 talks about it. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. We need to teach God's principles to our children so they can become included in the God family too. It's our responsibility. If we're trying to become God's children, we're also hoping and praying and working to have our children become God's children too as well. Deuteronomy 6:2 says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. And then Deuteronomy 6:7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's our responsibility to coach and grow our children's character through life experiences so that they live it and own their relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Coach them to see the love that Jesus shows them so that they can grow their love for Jesus and God the Father. Loving Jesus Christ and God the Father is the first step to obedience. God will provide an agrarian, faith-based society for all of us to live in. Right now we're in an industrialized society. Agrarian returns us back to the way it was thousands of years ago. In Micah 4:4, it talks about this. Micah 4:4 says, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Our families can grow and thrive and worship and love God and our neighbors living under our vine and under our own fig tree in our own land that is given to us. The government of the kingdom of God is the last point now, the last focus. The government of the kingdom of God will show breathtaking progress and achievement. Breathtaking progress and achievement. Our planet's environments will be returned to Garden of Eden-like conditions. And people will just want to plant and grow their own food. It will be easier. You won't have to take a bus to go to work and make an income. It'll be easier to grow your own food and raise your own animals for dairy products and also for wool. The nature of wild animals will be changed so that no longer are wild eating each other, but they'll be tame. Isaiah 35:1 says that the wilderness and wasteland will be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Amos 9:13 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. You don't have to go to liquor store to buy the wine. You just go to the hill next door. you won't have to drive to the liquor store and show your ID or anything like that. It'll be right there in front of you. And the hills shall flow with it. And also you'll have some interesting pets. Isaiah 11:6-9 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. So when you go out to see your cows, be prepared to pet your bear too. He's going to want some attention. He doesn't like being alone all the time. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. and the wean shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge, which is what we're talking about, the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now, we covered this earlier, but it's important. He is going to just penetrate the entire world with the knowledge of the Lord and with his law and his word. Isaiah 51 verse 3. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And of course, kids will be playing in the streets. Isaiah 61 verse 4. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. Thou shalt raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. The desolations of many generations, they'll be repaired and rebuilt. We'll bring great growth and great life to everything. In Ezekiel 36:35, the land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. The wasted, desolated, ruined cities are now fortified and inherited. Can you imagine how inspiring that will be? You know that with the tribulation that's coming, the cities all around the world will be destroyed. Can we just imagine how beautiful it's going to be? With all these things, we can see that the soon come government of God will heal all nations and bring life and prosperity to all the human race. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he started preaching this message. His purpose, as he came, he preached this message. And this is the last scripture, last thing I'd like you to remember. But just please keep in mind how positive the future can be. Mark 1:15. This is Jesus speaking now, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.